Brett Hollander back here on WBAL, and let's talk some Ravens and Dolphins here on BAL, because that's where the Ravens are heading tomorrow to take on Miami for a 1 p.m. kickoff on Sunday, broadcast right here on BAL. And we're joined now by a Miami sports veteran, now with ESPN, George Sedano. George, what's going on?
I'm good, buddy. Thanks. How are you?
I'm doing well. So tell me about your new gig with ESPN.
Well, they've got me doing a lot of everything. I'm kind of almost a utility guy. On radio, though, I'm doing the evening show with Mark Schlereth, which right now is on a little bit of a hiatus because of the baseball playoffs. But I'm doing that on the radio side, and on television, I'm kind of more of a pundit. You know, I just kind of pop on SportsCenter. I'll make appearances on the different opinion shows. You know, so every day I'm somewhere new.
That's something that will stay fresh every day, certainly. And are you in Bristol? Are you going back and forth between South Florida a lot?
Yeah, I'll be in Bristol for a while, and then I'll take some time and be in South Florida, and just kind of depending on where they need me, I'll be. But I'll basically be splitting time between the two places.
What's your local watering hole right now in Bristol, Connecticut? What do you do there at night?
Oh, there's a great Mexican place called El Sombrero. That's the spot that
nice.
Clarence and I go to. Yeah, we found that. Mark is a veteran of Bristol, so he's kind of shown me the ropes.
It's funny, we caught up with Mark at the Super Bowl this past year, and his son Daniel actually pitched for the Orioles in the minor leagues this year, and his son was awesome. He hung out with us for a while at spring training, our broadcast there. Good family.
Yeah, great, great people. The kids are great, and Mark is fantastic.
Very, very good. Well, it's a Dolphins team you're very familiar with. Off to a 3-1 start. Are you surprised by their start?
A little bit. I thought they'd be 2-2 at this point. I thought they would lose to Indianapolis. And look, it was a close game. And Indianapolis defensively was not very good in that game. But Ryan Tannehill had played extremely, extremely well the first couple of games. He didn't turn the ball over much. But we saw kind of him revert back to his rookie season a little bit in this last game against New Orleans. So I'm pleasantly surprised that they're 3-1 at this point. And honestly, I don't know what to expect moving forward. I don't know if they're the team we saw the first 3 weeks, or if once they step up in weight class, let's say, like when they play a Saints team, will they fold like they did this past Monday? So especially with what's going on with Baltimore right now, I'm curious to see how these two teams match up.
Yeah, it should be a really interesting game. I guess Ryan Tannehill, in his second season, he's improved a lot, as you would expect, although 5 touchdowns and 5 picks. Is he right where people thought he would be? Is he maybe ahead of where people thought he would be through 1 season and 4 games?
Well, I think through 3 games, everyone thought he was ahead. And then now when you look at his numbers after the New Orleans game, everyone's like, wait a second, what do we have here now? Is he Chad Henne, or is he the next coming of a franchise quarterback? And I think that those questions have started to come up this week, particularly off that New Orleans game.
Well, the Ravens lose to a rookie quarterback in his third game in E.J. Manuel the other day. So the Ravens used to boast about beating down young quarterbacks. They can't do that right now.
Yeah, it's pretty odd. You know, look, I guess we somewhat expected some of that with them losing Ray and Ed and guys like Danelle Ellerbe with the Dolphins. And, you know, they've lost some guys there and you know, Kruger and whatnot. So you kind of had to expect there to be some fallout there. And I think what's happening is they're putting probably too much of the onus on Joe Flacco to win games. And I don't know if he's ever been that guy. I know he had a great run during the postseason, not throwing an interception. I believe it was, 11 touchdowns that he had. So, but I think that was him kind of just playing above his head, I guess, at that point. Whereas he's always been a pretty good guy, almost basically a 2-to-1 touchdown interception ratio guy. But I don't know if he's one of the elite quarterbacks, because when you look at that group of guys, there's probably only 4, Rodgers, Brees, Manning, and Brady, and some of the other guys maybe you can make a debate for, but I just think he's in that next level, and I don't know if that next level of guys is someone that you can count on to just bring teams back all the time or keep teams afloat in that elite category.
When you look at the receivers that Tannehill is throwing the ball to, names like Hartline, Clay, Gibson, probably the casual football fan doesn't know any one of those 3 guys. They might know the 4th place guy with 15 receptions, Mike Wallace, but he's only the 4th leading receiver right now after signing a big free agent contract this offseason. You know, he complained after game 1. He must be really upset through 4.
Well, I think he's more concerned now more than anything else because he understands what happens when you sign one of those big deals. And I don't think he feels like he's being utilized properly, nor is he getting the amount of targets he expected to be able to produce the type of numbers that he's capable of. And I think that's kind of where he stands right now. There was a good article in the Miami Herald today by Armando Salguero, who's the Dolphins columnist down there, and he basically pointed that out, that it's more of a concern right now for Wallace, and he really needs to get on the same page with Tannehill and Mike Sherman, the offensive coordinator.
George Sedano from ESPN is with us, longtime Miami broadcaster. And other things of note right now for this team, and speaking of free agent acquisitions, they go out and they spend a lot of money this past offseason, so maybe the expectations were raised going into the 2013 campaign, but they get Donnell Ellerbe, former Ravens linebacker, who played so well down the stretch for Baltimore. It kind of took him 4 years to figure it out, but then no one ever questioned his ability and athleticism. He figures it out right before free agency, and that's a common tale, and now he's a member of the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, Donnell Ellerbe has been pretty good thus far. I think it's been a nice signing for them. Now, look, I thought they had some guys that were pretty good, particularly at that position. Carlos Dansby, a veteran.
Yeah.
But this came down to saving some dollars and a younger, faster version of what they had previously. And in today's NFL game, you have to look at all that. You have to look at the upside to a guy and the economics. I think all that factors in.
And, George, you know I like figuring out the pulse on South Florida sports. Pretty interesting time right now with the Dolphins and then the Miami Heat starting play pretty soon and after winning back-to-back championships. What's the big thing on the meter right now in South Florida?
Well, I think the Dolphins are at the forefront right now, and I think people are kind of waiting for that shoe to drop, the proverbial shoe to drop, because the Dolphins have played so poorly for the better part of a decade outside of an anomaly here, an outlier there. So if it goes south, I think everyone immediately then starts to focus on the Miami Heat. But as long as the Dolphins are in contention, their attention will be split. And let's not forget, the University of Miami is 4-0 right Ooh. Now, playing a game against Georgia Tech this weekend. And if there's one thing South Florida has been craving for a long time, is for the quote-unquote, the U to be back.
Yeah.
Because I think it's great for college football when brand names are good. USC, Notre Dame, Miami, Texas. Those type of schools, if they're good, it makes college football more fun because those teams, everyone either loves them or hates them. There's no in-between on teams like that. So it'll be interesting to see how everything shakes out over the next couple of weeks before LeBron and Dwayne Wade and company take the floor against the Bulls on a Tuesday night in Miami.
Final question, George. Do you think James stays with the Heat?
I think so, because Pat Riley has done an unbelievable job of giving that team a lot of flexibility. The team, if the big three were to opt out this year, they'd only have two players under contract, which is perfect because if you want to remake that team and those veteran guys that they have on the roster, Shane Battier, Ray Allen, all those guys are long in the tooth. So, those guys won't be around after next year. And if they are, maybe it'll be 1 year type deals. So it gives you so much roster flexibility and cap flexibility that I think LeBron's going to be able to see that there where he's not going to have it in other places. And the one thing Pat Riley has always done, and some people think to a fault at times, has been extremely loyal. Now, with that said, that's paid off because his loyalty to Dwayne Wade and people on the staff who have been there for 10, 15, 20 years in some cases has seeped through. And LeBron loves being part of a family, and he's seen that in Miami. It's a very small, family-oriented organization run by Pat Riley and Mickey Arison, the owner. They only have about 120 employees. And I would say probably a fifth of them have been there since day one when the franchise started operations back in the late 80s. So I think he sees that. I think he sees that, you have a steadfast organization with a group that's been there a long time and, the foresight to have flexibility not only at the current moment but moving forward. And I think it makes sense for him. And plus, if he leaves, let's say he goes to the Lakers or even back to Cleveland, I think that all that pressure probably comes right back, especially if he goes to Cleveland. Because if he goes to Cleveland, they're going to be great. Yeah, you won all those championships. You didn't win one for us. And we haven't won a championship here since the 60s, as far as our professional sports are concerned. So he kind of goes back to square one, I think, if he goes to Cleveland. And if he goes to another team like the Lakers or whatnot, then he gets looked at as, you know, a hired gun of sorts. And I don't think he wants to see that for his legacy.
Fascinating stuff. A man who knows all, and he now works for ESPN. We'll be watching and listening, George. Thank you so much for being on with us.
Anytime.
That's George Sedona from ESPN, formerly with WQAM in South Florida. George, thank you so much. We'll be back with more next here on Sportsline.